Em, can you believe we are in our third season of Interview Boss?
Not really. It's crazy. But that means there are over 90 episodes we've made.
Oh my God. Scrolling through all of our episode titles, you might miss an episode that actually is exactly what you're looking for.
Yes, we get so many messages of people asking us to do an episode on something and we're like, we already have. So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are best suited to you. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, and job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
Yes, and we even have a playlist for if you have an interview like tomorrow and you need just our most recommended episodes, just the ones you really need between now and then.
Exactly. It is all there for you. You can browse by category. Check out the playlist at www.interviewboss.com.au/podcast. It's giving when you're asking for a letter of reference or whatever. And did you ever have teachers that would be like, you write it and I'll sign it? It's like, do the hard work for me and I will just back it in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name's Emma and I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister Sarah to give you advice, inspiration and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional and together we're here to give you all the tips, tricks and behind the scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. Em, this is a surprise shout out. You haven't let me see this one, so I'm live reacting. Who are we shouting out, this mystery person?
This is so iconic, and all I'm going to say is stay tuned for a plot twist at the end.
Oh.
So, shouting out Kirsty today, who bought us a coffee. She said, hi, Emma and Sarah. Firstly, thank you so much for your podcast and what you do. Secondly, I've been through one heck of a ride, so this will be one heck of a long story.
Oh, I love the word heck.
I know, it's catching on. If I do say so myself, I believe I'm a living, breathing and walking existence of your podcast advice. Strap in for a long story.
Oh.
I found your podcast in December 2023 during a time when I realized I was receiving multiple job interviews, but I could never nail an interview and would always finish them feeling sad and disappointed that I wasn't able to articulate myself. After much introspection, I realized I lacked confidence in speaking about myself and my experience because I always believed the work I've done was mundane and not important, in brackets, a lie I was telling myself. We love a self-aware queen. I've been working in various health promotion, nutrition, research jobs since I graduated in 2021, then again from postgrad in December 2023. At this point, I'd been job searching for 2 to 3 months while I was finishing my postgrad. I applied for over 15 jobs and I'd received 8 or so interviews, all of which I absolutely bombed.
Oh.
But how great is getting 8 interviews? Like, she's doing so well to be getting all of those.
Yeah.
I searched up interviewing Spotify on my daily walk and lo and behold, there you guys were. At this point, I didn't realize my whole life was about to change. I became obsessed with listening to you guys because I felt such a change in my confidence and really started to think, hell yeah, I can do this. I honestly have so much valuable experience that I didn't even realize I had.
Oh,
what an epiphany. I created an action plan and really fleshed out what stumped me in interviews. The non-negotiable mentions, best bits, and storytelling advice saved my life. She wrote that with like full stop after saved my life.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I worked on getting those stories perfect, but also having the ability to change them to any question. I worked on this for a month as December was very dry in the job market, but I had 2 interviews coming up in January that I wanted to nail and prove to myself I could do this. During this month, I listened to a new podcast daily on my walk. It's safe to say by now she's probably listened to every single one. Insane.
Yeah.
I found value in every podcast and was gaining more and more confidence with each one. January rolls around and I've never felt so prepared. I practiced and recorded myself answering all different examples of behavioral questions and also nailing the why have you applied, what are your strengths, tell us about yourself questions. My first interview happened and I killed it. I blanked on one answer, but I followed your advice, took a deep breath, clenched my butt cheeks, asked to repeat the question and asked if I could have a moment and then genuinely took it. That's the key. They were so lovely and considerate. I eventually got there and they seemed pleased. I wasn't obsessed with this role, but I knew it would be a great experience to have. I felt so good after the interview and was so proud of how far I'd come. I had another interview coming up the following week, which I thought was my dream job. After the interview, I realized I should have taken this job off the pedestal because it was not what I expected. I still tried my best and I absolutely smashed the interview. During this time, I was also applying for over 10 other jobs and receiving interviews. Chaos.
It's all happening.
One had really caught my eye. I was in love and willing to do anything to get there. I applied, got an interview, which was a few days after that last one I had. I was overly prepared, read up everything about the company and the role. It felt so right and I knew I would smash it. I did the interview and I was over the moon. I did so well and honestly cried with how far I had come. We got along so well and I couldn't have been happier. Then the dreaded wait. I continued to apply for jobs and I listened to the While You Wait episode and oh my God, yes. I thought I had this job. My references got checked. They said I was a preferred candidate. We emailed every day because they were trying to get another reference of mine. They said I had very valuable skills and a lot to offer. I was so excited and I couldn't wait to get the final answer when I was so sure it was going to be a yes. A few days later and I get the call. We really liked you and you have amazing experience, but the other candidate just had a few more years experience. So they put me on a merit list. I was gutted. It really went to show if you haven't signed the contract, you don't have the job.
Yep.
And she put that in inverted commas as in that's what we said. And she's saying, I hear you. That was really true.
Yes.
Luckily, I had been applying for other jobs. She listened to us. She didn't sit around and keep all her eggs in one basket. And more interviews were coming up. I didn't get that first job. They really liked me, but the other person had real specific experience. The second interview I had, they said I was almost overqualified and would be bored.
Oh.
She's like, I couldn't catch a break. I knew someone soon would want me. I was positive and adamant that it was coming. I struggled mentally and financially through this time, but I kept on pushing. I knew I was so close and your podcast honestly kept me sane. Here we are at the end of Feb 2024 and I finally landed myself a job in health as a health promotion officer, my dream career in an area I'm so passionate about and where there's so much career progression and security in the company. I listened to the second best episode earlier in this process. When all of these jobs declined me, I kept a positive outlook and kept those relationships with the recruiter. Luckily I did because I just got a call from that first interviewer and they asked if I still wanted the job because it didn't work out with the first person they'd hired. I couldn't believe it actually happened days after listening to you say that that's a possibility. I love it. She's like, oh, as if. And then they actually call her to say like, hey, it didn't work out. Do you want the job? She says, moral of the story, although the job I got is an end game and wasn't my dream job, I realized it's a stepping stone and there's no rush. I have my whole life to get to where I want to be and just to enjoy the process. Drop the dream job mentality. It isn't helpful.
Yes.
Last thing, keep on believing in yourself and work on those areas where you think you're falling and I promise you will get there. I didn't think I'd be here saying it worked, but it worked. It really does.
Oh.
I know it can be so hard, but keep going. Here's the plot twist. P.S. At the very beginning of this story.
I thought that was already the plot twist.
No, there's a lot of plot twists in this. At the very beginning of this story, when I first discovered the podcast, I told all my friends about how amazing you guys were and how I thought this was going to change everything. In brackets, I was correct, by the way. My roommate looked you guys up and was like, that girl looks so familiar, pointing to Emma. After much deliberation and Insta stalking, I found out that Emma and I share a lot of mutual friends from uni and wouldn't be surprised if we had been to the same parties in our first or second year of uni. Once again, thank you girls so much for helping me believe in myself and get my head where it needs to be. I'll still listen to the podcast even after all of this, so keep being amazing. Love from Kirsty, a fellow recent graduate from UOW who was struggling to get a job the last 4 months.
Oh my God.
So much to say. But firstly, when I saw this notification pop up, I went, oh my God, I think I know someone with that name. But then as I was reading, I don't know her well enough to know that she was in the health sort of research space. So I kind of went, oh no, maybe it's a coincidence. And then I got to the end. I was like, wait, I knew it. And then I did an Insta search. And yeah, we have that many mutual friends. I feel like I've genuinely been to a house party at her house before because I know her roommate.
That's so funny.
Wild. So out of all of our...
And she found us through Spotify. Yeah. Like, how random.
Went to the same uni, probably lived like minutes away from each other. Out of all of our global listeners, yeah, small world.
Kirsty, thank you for writing that. That was so entertaining to follow along of your story. And like, I love that you shared us all the different bits. She nailed it at the beginning. I feel like she had every single experience.
Every lesson happened in her seeking experience. Yeah. She learned to keep pushing on, even though it's really tough. She learned about being the runner-up and why that's not a bad thing and how you can get the call up. She learned to take the dream job off the pedestal because it's not always what you think. She learned
to not worry about, like, you know, they didn't choose you for some reason or whatever. Like, it's still going to come. There's, you know, it's not personal. There's nothing you need to do about your interviews necessarily.
She learned about being overqualified, even though that's frustrating. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a genuine thing.
And the best bits, all the prep she did in December, like, I love that part that she spent ages working on all of that. And then she had so many interviews. It's like, then you only need to tweak what you've been doing. She's not starting from scratch again. She's done all that prep in December. She's got all her notes there. All you have to add is like maybe a couple of specifics for that role.
And also how sometimes the job you end up really liking, maybe you never thought that's what you wanted. But in the end, she's like, hey, it's got great progression, really stable. I'm passionate about the sector. Like, what a win. So stoked for you.
Well, and the jobs that I've loved the most have not been that sexy on the outside. Like, I had no idea going in that they would be such an awesome job. There's no way I could have told. The ads were average. A recruiter told me about them. I was like, oh, I don't know. The interview was good, but not amazing. And then you get the job and you're in there and it's like something that you wouldn't have expected that you really love about it. So, oh my God.
And I love her message to the fellow job seekers. I hope that there's someone out there that hears that and that gives them a bit of inspiration to hang in there. It's so tough, but there's light at the end of the tunnel.
When she said that she had an interview coming up for the dream job, I thought it was going to turn into like she did the power move or whatever, but it's like that was just the beginning. There was so much more to come.
It was truly the beginning. Thanks for sticking with us for that one, but it was really a journey.
And also, I think to Kirsty as well, your first job that you land outside of study is the hardest one you'll ever get. I can't promise you, obviously, but like I promise it's not going to be that hard again. As soon as you've got some kind of experience, the rest of it becomes so much easier. It's that first job after study or first job with a career change. Those are always so much tougher. You've got to hang in there. The next one's not going to be that hard, I promise. Like, it's not. And also, you've done all the prep and you have all the skills now to know I can do that again if I have to. I don't want to, but if I have to, like, I can do that again. I'm an incredible interviewer. Everyone she had in January loved her. They didn't all offer her the job, but they all gave her such incredible feedback. I love that so much. That's my favorite one yet. We keep saying that, but it is.
It is every time.
Now, if you can do this all on your own, like Kirsty, go right ahead. Use all of our podcast episodes as your Bible. Follow our instructions and you can become amazing at interviews. But if you're getting a little bit confused and you need us to break it down and get way more detailed about step by step exactly what you need to do to prepare for your interviews, then please go and check out our Interview Academy course. That is exactly what you need in that scenario. There are no secrets that we're keeping from you.
Our first crop of graduates have been flying out the door of Interview Academy with great success. You could be one of them too.
And it's not like there's any secrets in there necessarily. It's just about step by step of the process, breaking it down, do this first, then do this, like making it really, really achievable.
Don't say that. There is definitely the Krabby Patty secret formula in there and you won't know unless you go and buy
no,
it. So
I wanted to say to listeners, like, we're not hiding some secret from our wonderful podcast listeners. We're really not. It's just the methods, if anything.
All right, into today's episode. You just mentioned a power move before. We love our power moves here at Interview Boss and we want to talk about another one brought to you by our Auntie Sue.
I know.
Big Sue, as we affectionately call her, quite possibly my favorite person on this earth, the biggest blessing ever. We love her so much.
We do.
And you caught up with her recently at a family event. I wasn't there. You got chatting to her and she kind of dropped this little nugget of wisdom and you were like, hang on, we need to talk about this.
We do. And I thought, let's credit Sue for this amazing piece of advice. So today's episode is brought to you by Aunty Sue. And to give you a bit of background on Sue, she is a retired now teacher. She taught teenagers in Canberra for 34 years, sat on so many different interview panels.
Sorry. 34 years.
I know.
What an angel.
Crazy. And like everybody knows how hard it is to keep teachers and to stay in teaching. And 34 years is an incredible achievement. She interviewed lots of people. She also mentored a lot of younger teachers as they were coming through, helped them go for different jobs and interviews and things. And she became a senior executive member supporting at-risk children. So she was just absolutely adored by all of her students, I can imagine, just the same way we do. And she has some incredible advice. So, Em, you haven't heard this. So now I get to surprise you in this episode.
Great. Blind reaction.
I'm going to play this clip that actually got sent in from Sue. So you actually get to hear her. And then we will discuss at the end.
Hey, Sarah and Em. Thanks for inviting me to be part of your podcast. And wow, what a podcast it is. Just love listening to all of your advice. I just wanted to have a chat to you about what I used to call cheat sheets whenever I was going for an interview. And I went for many in my 34 years career as a teacher. For each of my referees that I needed to use, I would send them a different cheat sheet. And on it, I used to have headings such as leadership, collegiality, sort of based on the questions that I thought that they might ask my referees. And I used to have dot points so that when they were asked to talk about my leadership or how I dealt with conflict or how I mentored staff, they were able to rattle off one or two things and they were different to my other referees. So in case they rang one or both referees, they got a different picture about my strengths in various areas of my career. So hopefully that's given you enough information. And yeah, I just used to call them cheat sheets and I think my referees really appreciated them. So I hope that helps someone else. Bye.
Big Sue, I love her so much. Also, quick note, in case anyone thinks we're mean for calling her Big Sue, no, it's an affectionate term. She calls herself Big Sue.
She's also not large. Like, she's a normal-sized Sue. She's just...
That's what I'm saying.
She's Big Sue as a personality.
She's big
Sue.
In personality. Right. Oh, I love her so much. Genius.
Isn't it? I just was like, that is so clever. To be doing up little cheat sheets for your referees and flicking them across. So let's break it down. She's creating a cheat sheet for each referee and putting on it, okay, here's some examples about leadership, about these key skills that you might get asked about me mentoring people. And she's picking the examples that they might be able to give. So if they were referees from different jobs, you'd obviously put the examples on their cheat sheet that related to that job. But she's even splitting them up, even if they maybe are at the same job, to be like, I'll give you those ones and I'll give you those ones, and giving them some little pointers of what they can mention if they get asked about those topics. I love this for so many reasons, but what's your reaction, Em?
This is so iconic because obviously a good referee who, you know, is going to go into bat for you will say great things, but even if they're so convinced of how amazing you are and generally would do a good job otherwise, what person, when they're put on the spot during the middle of their busy workday, can really come up with specific examples that they have done? Like, it's just not going to happen. They can give general comments and rave about you and say, oh, they're the best, but not often would they be able to go into detail of stories and situations. But if you're spoon feeding it to them, that's just iconic.
And they probably remember those things anyway.
Of course, it's prompting them.
Yeah.
Hey, job hunters, big news. Our all new course, Interview Academy, is live and ready to transform your interview game. It's all the strategies from Sarah's one-on-one coaching, but without the limited time slots.
Yep. It takes you step by step by step through crafting your career story, coming up with your awesome best bits, and all the practice you need.
And guess what?
It's at a special launch price, never to be seen again. Get more information at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. It's linked in the show notes below. But it gives them, oh, that's right, she did that. Oh, that's right, she did that. I just love this so much. And what Sue didn't mention that she told me when we were catching up is that she actually used this for a job that she went for. And she said for this particular job, she didn't happen to get the promotion or whatever it was. But the interviewer went out of their way to say how incredible her reference check was. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really got people's attention. Just how much her referee stood out compared to the other people. And she's told this to other people and said it's worked for them as well. I just love it. As a reference, I imagine someone wants to go for a certain role. They give me a little bit of info about the role, and then they also gave me some pointers. Oh, so amazing.
It's giving when you're asking for a letter of reference or whatever. And did you ever have teachers that would be like, you write it and I'll sign it?
Yes, exactly.
It's like, do the hard work for me and I will just back it in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll back it in. I love that. See, this is a perfect example of you being the banter, Em. Like, I would never say that. You set it up and I'll back it in. It's perfect. Because it's like, help me help you. I can't remember. It was like a few years ago. I don't know exactly what you did. And there might be things that, like, even if you are managing someone directly, you don't see all of their work every single day, or like, you can't remember what part they had.
No, and no one's paying that much attention to other people. And imagine, say it's really close between you and someone else, and the reference stage, normally it's just to solidify, you're already pretty sure about your candidates, but like, it's an important step. And then if you got someone that gave like a glowing report with examples and just, you know, real meaty substance to what they were saying, like, that could be the difference that might sway someone.
Totally.
It's not going to be the whole reason you get the job, but if you're already really up there, this could really solidify it.
Particularly if they're like doing the thing where they send maybe two candidates to the reference check stage, they're still kind of choosing between the two people. And this could be the thing that confirms that, hey, you are absolutely the right person. So as a recruiter, I love it. It means you're getting a better quality reference check out of that person as well. It kind of ticks all the boxes, but I actually think it would work really well in the context that Sue was using it. Like when it's an internal move or something where the candidates are really similar, you know, when it's like, oh, we're all going for a promotion and my colleague are applying to.
Yes. Tricky situation.
Yeah. This would be a game changer in that situation because they work with you. They already know you. You're probably all using similar referees, but you've gone out of your way to make sure that it's much easier for them to give you a detailed reference than it is for the others.
And I don't just love the part about putting on great examples of what Sue has done. But I love that she said she puts like lots of info about the type of job that she's going for and the questions they might ask. Because when I've asked people to be a reference in the past, I've told them what the job is, like say, oh, you know, media advisor or something. And I guess it's kind of a given to some degree, but I haven't gone into detail. But that could also help them give a glowing report if they can use examples and go, and, you know, with this role, I imagine Sue would need to do a lot of XYZ because they've got that written down. So it can also almost help them sell it to the person at their company, like make them seem like they know heaps about it. Like, oh, at your company, you know.
Yeah. If you've got a copy of the job description as well, like that could be really helpful to include. And look, you don't have to go completely all out here. Like, don't give them a multiple page document. Like, don't make it overkill.
It's brief.
Yeah, it is. You could even just put it in an email if you wanted. It wouldn't have to be in a separate document. You could just do it all in a little email of like, in case you need some other things to mention, I've attached below a couple of points of the things that I've achieved under each category. Feel free to use these as a prompt if you like, or add your own. Like, you don't have to say to them, only stick to the talking points.
Put a gun to their head and say, you better say these things.
Read from the script.
Stick to the script. That's something I say to my partner all the time when he doesn't say what he's meant to. I say, stick to the script. You're meant to say this.
When he doesn't say what he's meant to, in what context?
When I'll be like, oh, I'm so tired. And he'll be like, me too. And I'm like, stick to the script. Like, you're meant to say like, oh, don't chime in and say you're tired as well.
So it's not a real script. It's just we're meant to play these parts where I say I'm tired and you say, oh, you poor thing. Like, do your bit. This is the next line.
That's
in the
what
script.
I say. Stick to the script. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't improvise. We're not changing it up.
I do let my partner, you know, I don't hold him captive and make him stick to a literal script. It's just a figure of speech when you're looking for a certain response and someone says the wrong thing and you're like, eh.
Oh, I thought you meant like you were in public or something and somebody said, oh, what are you going to do about whatever? And he said something and you went, stick to the script.
No.
We said we were going to go home at 7.
No. I'm calling it, let's dub this the Big Sue cheat sheet. We want our community to endorse the Big Sue cheat sheet.
Yep. And we want people to write in and tell us if you used it and if it worked. I think I wouldn't necessarily do this every single reference check you do. It's not like an all the time. It's not a necessary thing.
And you don't want it to become exhausting, but a job you really want.
Yep. It's up your sleeve. If there's something that you know that they're not sure about, but as a reference check, it's like you know about this strategy now, use it. Keep it up your sleeve.
Cool.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you're listening to this podcast. Or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, and a supportive community, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss.
We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.